May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please, please, please. The role of Todd Foster will be played by Chuck Messer.
Okay.
Somebody said this morning, wow, you really look like Todd. Okay, I don't look like Todd. Maybe a little taller, maybe a little wider, but that's probably about the extent of it. I bring you greetings from your sisters and brothers in Salem, from St. John's Episcopal Church. I want you to know that you've got family down there, that you have sisters and brothers who love you, that aren't necessarily just fellow Episcopalians. We are united under one baptism. We drink from one cup and we eat of one bread. And you and I are bound together, whether you like it or not. Forever. Forever. There is nothing that's going to separate us from one another, because the blood of Jesus covers all. So today, you know, the lectionary has given us three big fastballs right down the center plate. And for a preacher, there's a lot to choose from. And which ones do you do? And so I'm going to try my best to, you know, give you a little bit of what I think of our lessons today. You know, faith and religion are different things. You know, religion is the first to condemn and the last to forgive. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Religion is all about me. All about me and what I do for God. Faith, on the other hand, is what can I do because of what God has done for me already. Religion is about, I'm so sorry. All the guilt. I'm so sorry. Faith is, thank you. And so we've got these stories, especially from Hebrews, that talks about Abraham. And by faith, God called Abraham to start walking. And don't stop until I tell you to. And which goes to show that the Christian faith, and I say faith, is an event-oriented religion. Okay? So what that means is that God speaks first and then comes faith. It's not the other way around. It's not that, you know, I kind of bite down and swallow really hard and try really, really hard to believe in the Easter Bunny. And somehow it happens. But that's not how it works. God speaks first, then comes faith. God speaks first, then comes articulation. That's when we're able to do what God's called us to, because God has already done something for us first. So let's take it back. You know, so the children of Israel are in Egypt, and they're suffering, great suffering. And it says in the book of Exodus that the suffering of the people rose to the nostrils of God like incense. And so God heard the cries of God's people, and God raised up Moses. Now, Moses did not just automatically agree, okay, I'm going to go to Pharaoh and tell him to, you know, let my people go. God met him right where he was, just where he was, broken and restless. It didn't matter. God chose him. And God says, I want you to go. And so at that experience of the burning bush, Moses was able to go and to do. So the children of Israel led from death to freedom, from slavery into life. And so they find themselves on Mount Sinai, and God, you know, and Abraham, Moses has got the 15 commandments. I mean, 10, you know. That's an old, you know, whatever that movie was. No, bad joke. So he's got the 10 commandments. And what's the first commandment? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, there's a reason, okay? There's a reason why you are to have no other gods before God. Because God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. And what is the only response to God doing for us that we cannot do for ourselves? What is the only response?
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's thank you. And how do we say thank you? By worship. How do we say thank you? By obedience. How do we say thank you? Love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
We got a sick country. You know, my dad died 6 months ago, and the week he died, I was just all numb. It's the second week where the whole, it sounded like the bottom of the world fell out before in front of me, and I had nowhere to go. Imagine what it must be like for your sisters and brothers in El Paso this morning. How can people come and praise the Lord and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, and all of that stuff, when you've got family that are in the morgue and that are getting prepared to be buried because of some awful evil. And then those people in Ohio, imagine coming to church after all of that. But somehow, God is calling us. God is speaking to us right now, right here. And that's faith. And the reason why we can kind of get a radar going is because we know Jesus.
Yes.
We know Jesus because of an experience that we've had. So there's a reason why most of us, or all of us, should have this visceral reaction to seeing children being kept in cages.
Yes.
We should have a visceral, almost maddening anger at people who want to shoot other people just because of their ethnicity. And the reason why, it's not because we're Republican or Democrat, it's because we're Christian. It's because the Lord Jesus loved us first, because the Lord Jesus met us right where we are, just as we are, broken and restless, nothing that we can do, and God did something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. And that is salvation. The book of Isaiah, you know, is like one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. And you know, they're not, it takes some unpacking, so I'm going to try and do that. But the first chapter of Isaiah is sort of like the introduction to the book. And if you'll notice that, it's hard to follow if you read the entire book. You know, who's doing what? Because it's a book of the prophet. And so it's a collection of prophecies over four different kings. And so Isaiah became a prophet during the reign of Uzziah. Now, some of us may remember parts of Isaiah where the beginning, where God calls Isaiah in the midst of the temple. And seraphim and cherubim are around the throne of God. And God speaks and says, I want you to go and talk to people and tell my people to return back to me. And he says, because he's in the presence of God, I can't, I'm sinful. And I'm from sinful people and I speak from sinful lips. And God, and an angel comes and takes a tong and touches his tongue. And so now he's able then to go and speak that experience of God in the temple, propelled Isaiah to be able to stand up and face criticism, to face all kinds of people talking about him, and even the fear of death and violence. Because there is a higher calling. There's another country in which Isaiah and Jesus and the book of Hebrews are all saying that there's something more. That what we see now is but a fraction of what comes later. And if we knew that God loved us just as we are, right as we are, which in other words is called grace, unmerited favor, that if God loves me and you, broken and restless, if you knew just how dark my heart was, you would have some questions. That's a joke. But if I'm broken and you're broken, who are we to say that nobody else is broken? And that if God takes you and me, God better take everybody. There is no losers. Everybody's got to win. Because if Jesus came and he lived and he died and he rose again, it's got to be for not just Christians. It's got to be more than just for Jews. It's got to be for the whole planet. Here and now. And so I, like Isaiah, Jesus also says, you know, there's a certain way in which you behave that is responsive to your thankfulness of God. That you're going to live a certain way. That it's not by what you say or how you wear your religion on your sleeve, because in the end that means nothing. It's all about here. And it's about how you treat your neighbor. We have a sick world, man. Our country is in a fever. And what's the antidote? Jesus. Now, they may not see it, Jesus, but you know what? All of the hatred and bigotry and racism, all of the awful things that we do to ourselves and to one another, we flung it to the face of God on Good Friday. And we killed God out of our own spite, out of our own desire to be God, because I wanted God to look like me. Because if God looks like me, then I can justify almost any kind of behavior. But instead of punishment, instead of judgment, on the third day, he rose again. And he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom will have no end. If that is the good news that we're able to take with us to the funeral home, to the nursing home, to the hospital, to when the family is pulling apart, somehow God promises us to never leave or forsake us. So if God is for us, then who is against us? And then if that's the truth, then you and I are called to be imitators. Imitators of Jesus to a world that's in need of Jesus. You know, like there was a time in which I wanted to be Elvis. You know, I would look into a mirror and just kind of, you know, do the lip thing, and you know, and I try to go, you know, and sometimes that would work. But you know what? I didn't look at all like Elvis. I couldn't sing at all like Elvis. But Jesus, like an Elvis impersonator, calls you and me to look like, talk like, behave like, to die like Jesus. Amen. And it's because of our faith, not religion, our faith in Jesus that says what's happening at the south of the border is wrong. Mm-hmm. That keeping children in cages is wrong. Right. And that if you and I choose to say it's wrong and we can be all kinds of religiously indignant and all this kind of stuff and do nothing, then the same sin is on us. Because God is calling God's people to do something today. And so Isaiah talks to the children of Israel, talks to the king, and the way that God does judgment is not about a lightning bolt that he's going to throw from the sky. It's not about, you know, the moon turning into blood and all this kind of stuff that we think it is. But it's a little bit more complicated. Not complicated, no. A little more subtle. You know, when you have children, you know this. I got three teenagers. I got one boy that is just as hard-headed as he can be. And, you know, and I wish that I could tell you all the awful things that he's done this summer. But because we're in a church and I don't want to use certain language, I'll let you know he's just been a pain this summer. And I can't tell you how many times we've said, Armand, no. Armand, don't. Armand, don't do this. And yet over and over, he doesn't. Now, does his disobedience of what I tell him to do and what his mother tells him to do, does that mean that I quit loving him? No, of course not. But I'll tell you what it does do. Okay, Armand. You got it, buddy. Let's see how you work this one out. And that's what God's going to do.
Amen.
God's just going to say, I have loved you. I have cared for you. I have brought you from the four corners of the world. I have brought you from either as slaves or immigrants, but I have brought you here, and I've given you a land, and I've given you grace that's to everybody, that nobody can earn it or deserve it. And so now you want to tell me, God says, at least that's what happened in my brain, that God is saying, how dare you? Because this is for everybody. And how dare you think that you're better than someone else? The new moons and your festivals and the stuff that, the way that you talk about Jesus and all of the religion that goes on is repugnant into the eyes of God. And I'll tell you, the Jesus that you and I hear on TV, the Jesus that is all wrapped up in an American flag and is all about keeping people out and all this kind of stuff, let me tell you, that is not the Jesus we read in the gospel. And you and I have to know the difference. Because the devil, which we don't talk a lot about, but I promise you this, there is a darkness over here in this country. And you and I are light. We are salt in a tasteless world. We're light, and we are called to be ambassadors, imitators of Jesus, so that our love for one another is so overwhelming that the world will say, what is it that they got that I don't? Amen. How can I join in with that? Instead of it's my way or the highway, it's either accept Jesus or not. It's either, you know, you're either Christian or you're bound to serve cocktails with Hitler. That's also a joke. But there's something that you and I are called to do. And it's more than just be pew mates. And it's more than just sort of going to church and going through the motions. Because you and I have been born in a particular time in history. And I'll tell you, here's a word that if you want to impress girls, you guys out here. So, you know, there's a movie. Yeah, there you go, boss man. A Fish Called Wanda. Y'all know there's a movie called Fish Called Wanda. Anyway, there's a guy that loved to talk languages. And he had a girlfriend that just really got turned on whenever he started saying talking languages. So here's a word for you. Heilsgeschichte. That's not a very sexy sounding word, but it's German. And it means salvation history. And what that means is that you and I are part of the Heilsgeschichte. That from God's work at the Garden of Eden, from Egypt, from David, to the prophets, and in the fullness of time, Jesus came. And in the fullness of time, the Holy Spirit came. And now you and I are called to further that Heilsgeschichte. So that when it's all over but the shouting, when we all come on the other side of eternity, we will know that heaven is full of those people that we thought weren't going to be there. That heaven is open to everybody. And guess what? Heaven can be experienced right here, right now, not because of our religion, not because of how we dress and how we interact with one another. We experience heaven by loving our neighbor as ourselves. And by loving our neighbor as ourselves, we love God. And that is faith. Faith that will propel you to keep walking, just like Abraham. Faith that will allow you to stand up in front of authority and speak the truth. Faith that will say to the rest of the world, God loves you. God will never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to close with this. All right, and I tend to preach long, and so I apologize. You should hear my crowd. You know, they don't really get going. They don't see me get going until the sweat really pours down. But I'm going to close with this. There's a when Todd is here, don't do it when I'm here, okay? So when Todd is here next week and you get bored with the sermon, read the burial rite. You ever get interested in what's going to be said over you when you're laid out in a coffin or in an urn? Read that. Because what it says is this. All of us, not just one, all of us go down to the dust, yet even at the grave we make our song. Anybody know?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that has nothing to do with religion. That has everything to do with that personal experience where God met you. So here's mine. In 2003, my little girl was 3 months old, and they found a cyst in her lung. And in Kansas City, I was in my last year of seminary. Now, in your last years, when you get all the practice stuff, and they try to cram all the stuff in that they didn't do in the first 2 years, so that's when they tell you about what to say when you go to a funeral home or what to say when you go to a hospital. And I'll tell you what, and I was in those classes. But when my little girl was there, that faith that I thought I was ready to proclaim from the rooftop was nowhere to be seen. I would get as far as "Dear God," and my tears would just, I couldn't stop. Because that's my little girl. That's mine. It's different when it's yours. But when it's mine, it's a whole different story. Because I can pray a lot for you. But it doesn't count when it comes from if I don't know what it is. So for 4 weeks, Emma stayed in this tent. Now what happened? Really great medicine. Wonderful doctors and nurses. A fantastic hospital and insurance. But what happened was that somehow, a peace came over me that said, even though she may die, I'm with you. Even though the worst may come, I'll never forsake you. And so, this peace that I can't really articulate came over me. And so now she's, 19 years old and is a walking ATM asking, she wants nothing but cash. And she has no clue what happened when she was 3 months old. But guess what I do? And so because God met me in 2003 in Kansas City, I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. Because God met Chuck Messer, I don't have to suspend my belief in biology and history and all this kind of stuff. But I'll tell you, I believe just as sure as you're sitting there that Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. And that He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. That's why I believe. And so I can tell you all kinds of stuff, and anybody dressed like this, can try to talk to you about faith, but until it meets you right where you are, it's not complete. So I pray that God, if you hadn't already, experience our Lord. That if you are somehow finding that your faith is kind of lacking, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. We all know John 3:16, but who knows John 3:17? For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but through Him the what? The world will be what?
Saved.
Yes. Nobody loses except everybody wins. And that's the good news of the gospel. So I'm going to wrap this in a little bow and say amen.
Amen. Amen.